أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the tashahhud, ta'awudh and surah al-fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, may Allah be his helper, stated, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, we are passing through the second 10 days of Ramadan. Allah the Almighty has stated a special connection and relationship between Ramadan and the Holy Quran by saying, the month of Ramadan is that in which the Quran was sent down as a guidance for mankind, with clear proofs of guidance and discrimination. As such, our attention has especially been drawn towards reciting the Holy Quran during this month. In this era, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also drawn our attention towards this, whom Allah the Almighty has sent as the Imam in servitude to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had particularly drawn attention towards reciting the Holy Quran with utmost deliberation. Every year, Hazrat Gabriel, peace be upon him, would listen to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, repeat however much of the Holy Quran had already been revealed. And in the last year, before his demise, he completed it twice. Hence, the importance and connection of the Holy Quran with Ramadan is profound. Thus, we should always remain mindful of this and make an effort to recite the Holy Quran, listen to it, and attend lectures on the Holy Quran, etc. We organize lectures on the Holy Quran in the mosques and also offer the Taraweeh prayers, that is the voluntary congregational evening prayer during Ramadan. Emphasis is placed on reciting the Holy Quran and its recitation is played on MTA daily. We should also listen to that. However, we can only derive blessings and gain benefit from this if we listen to it and try to act in accordance with it. There are many people who do not know Arabic and are unable to understand the Holy Quran correctly. However, translations of the Holy Quran are available. Along with its recitation, they should also read the translation. We should remain attentive during the lectures on the Holy Quran and also reflect on what the caliphs have said in their addresses, which is also conveyed during these lectures. This will increase our knowledge. Thus, if we want to benefit from this, we will only be able to do so if we recite the Holy Quran and then try to act in accordance with it. Moreover, Allah the Almighty has particularly drawn our attention towards this in the days of Ramadan. The reason for this is that if you make a particular effort to recite the Holy Quran, which Allah the Almighty says He has revealed during the month of Ramadan, and try to act in accordance with it, then this will become a part of your lives. Allah the Almighty has said that the Holy Quran contains guidance and we can only follow guidance and the knowledge or being able to distinguish between the truth and falsehood can only benefit us if we act in accordance with it. Hence, as I mentioned, after reading the translation and listening to the lectures on the Holy Quran, we should act in accordance with it. We should act in accordance with the commandments and teachings of the Holy Quran. If we listen to it and then forget, or if we recite it but do not pay any attention towards it, then we will not be able to gain those benefits, which we could otherwise gain from the Holy Quran. Right at the beginning of the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah the Almighty has drawn our attention to this and emphasized its importance. The third verse which he states is, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a perfect book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the righteous. Thus, to adopt righteousness and become a true believer, Allah the Almighty has made it essential to act upon this book. And during Ramadan, we are in search of precisely this, how, while treading the path of righteousness, we can strive to attain the nearness of Allah the Almighty. Strive to set an example of becoming a true believer, attain guidance, and become recipients of Allah the Almighty's blessings. Thus, Allah the Almighty has made it clear that if this is your goal, then act upon this book which has been given to you. And when you act upon it, you will gain countless benefits. Allah the Almighty has clearly stated that this is a fountain from which whoever wishes to benefit with a pure heart will indeed benefit. Such a person will progress in righteousness and will be counted among those who are rightly guided. For this is the book in which there is no doubt, and it is a guidance for the righteous. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, its blessings and bounties are ever flowing, and it remains just as manifest and radiant in every era as it was in the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This is the claim of this book, that if you approach it with a pure heart, you will be safeguarded from every evil. You will be among those who are rightly guided, and you will become those who tread the path of righteousness. And as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said, its blessings are ever flowing, and those who act upon it will always remain protected from every evil. The thorny bushes along the paths, those wrongs and misleading things that attract a person's attention and attempt to pull him away from faith and towards sin, if we continue to follow and act upon the Holy Quran, then we will also remain safeguarded from them. Thus, we should always remember that during Ramadan, we must pay special attention to reading and listening to the Holy Quran. We attend Taraweeh prayers, listen to discourses, and in our homes, the Holy Quran is recited more than usual. Even if someone does not complete a full reading, they still spend some time in recitation during these days. Ideally, we should strive to complete a full reading of the Quran during Ramadan. As I mentioned, it was the practice of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to especially complete a full recitation during Ramadan. An angel, Gabriel, peace be upon him, would review it with him. So, in order to benefit from it, and to act upon this practice and draw blessings from it, we should first aim to complete a full reading of the Quran. Secondly, as I mentioned, those who do not know Arabic, and apart from those in the Arabic countries, there are many in the world who do not know Arabic, should read the commentary and translation alongside it to understand its meanings. As I mentioned in the previous sermon as well, in order to act upon it, we should extract key points so that we may act upon them and attain guidance. Through this, we will have proper knowledge of what is good and what is evil, and we will understand true guidance. We will recognize the right paths of righteousness, and by acting upon them, we will also receive the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Some people think that the Holy Quran is a very difficult book, but Allah the Almighty says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And indeed, we have made the Qur'an easy to understand and to remember. But is there anyone who would receive admonition? Thus, this is the claim of Allah the Almighty. It is the claim of the One who created mankind. He knows their nature, their circumstances, and their capabilities. He states that He has made the teachings of the Holy Qur'an easy, but you must still put in the effort to act upon it. And if you make the effort, then you will succeed and become among those who act upon it. Therefore, my only advice for you is to strive to your utmost to follow its teachings. Do not merely remain Muslims in name. We shouldn't simply claim, especially as Ahmadis, that we are not Muslims only in name. Rather, we have accepted the promise of Messiah and Mahdi, peace be upon him, in this era. And we have done this so that we become those who have attained nearness to Allah the Almighty. We have accepted the one foretold by Allah the Almighty in accordance with his prophecy. And we have done so to follow and fulfill his commandments. Thus, if we have accepted him, we must also act upon the commandments of the Holy Quran. Therefore, if we do not do this, then our mere claim of bayat is useless. Allah the Almighty has stated that He has made this Quran easy, and keeping in view human nature, has provided guidance in a simple manner that every person can follow with ease. He has set forth rules and regulations, given commandments, outlined the ways of worship, and stated economic and social injunctions as well as how we should treat one another. He did this because by implementing these commandments, your lives will be filled with peace, your surroundings will also remain harmonious, and you will continue to receive the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Thus, this is something that each one of us must understand. If we truly comprehend this, we will continue to become recipients of Allah the Almighty's blessings. Our household relationships will become strong, and our social interactions will become strong, and our intellectual faculties will substantially increase and brighten. Moreover, we will be drawn towards the recognition of Allah the Almighty. We Ahmadis are fortunate that in this era, we have been granted the opportunity to accept the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Allah the Almighty sent him as the Hakam and Adl, the judge and arbiter, and he unveiled the hidden treasures of the Holy Quran for us. He presented countless profound insights of the Holy Quran upon us, clearly elucidating those profundities which we at times fail to fully grasp, thus making them easy for us to understand for the sake of our education and moral training. Thus, if Allah the Almighty has said that He has made it easy, He has also at different times appointed teachers to make it easy. And in this era, He sent the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to open the doors of knowledge and wisdom, who has conveyed everything to us. Thus, it would indeed be unfortunate if we fail to act upon the explanations, meanings, and commentaries of the Holy Quran as expounded by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, after having understood them. In this age, in accordance with his promise and the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Allah the Almighty has sent a representative. Thus, it is now our duty to accept him, listen to his words, reflect upon the commentaries of the Holy Quran that he has provided, and act upon them. If we do so, we will attain success in our lives. Moreover, the Khulafa, that is the Caliphs, have also provided commentaries. Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, wrote Tafsir al-Kabir, the Grand Exegesis, which covers nearly half of the Quran. Aside from this, there are other translations and commentaries. For example, there is Tafsir al-Saghir. This is also quite explanatory. These are books in which the fundamental commandments have been laid out clearly. They're being translated into English and Arabic as well. Thus, we should pay special attention to reading these. In the month of Ramadan, and these translations are also being translated into German and other languages, where we give special attention towards reciting the Holy Quran and completing an entire reading of it, we ought to also strive to learn the deeper meanings of the Holy Quran, seek out the commandments contained therein, and then try to make them a part of our daily lives. Simply loving the Holy Quran is not enough, nor is it sufficient to put it away safely or touch it upon our foreheads out of reverence. People come to me for the Amin ceremony of their children. They should always remember that while they have fulfilled one duty of teaching their children how to recite the Holy Quran, now it is their duty to inculcate a permanent love for reciting the Holy Quran in their hearts. And this is only possible when the mother and father also give due attention to this. They ought to first themselves be regular in their recitation of the Holy Quran, so that the children witness their parents doing it. The parents should also be reading the commentary and translation of the Arabic, so that they understand the commandments therein, and so that when their children ask them questions, they can provide answers to them. Some children ask their parents very simple questions, and the parents end up writing to me to provide answers. Even though if the parents had but studied a minimal level of commentary and translation, they could have easily answered the children themselves. They wouldn't need any other help. So this is now the responsibility of parents as well, that having done the Amin ceremony, their duty has become even bigger. After having taught our children how to read this book of Allah, filled with guidance and divine wisdom from God Almighty, we also imbue a love for this book in their hearts. And this is only possible when we express our love for it as well. Hence, every Ahmadi should be vigilant about this, that starting with themselves and then their spouses and children, they give due attention towards reading the Holy Quran. They should study the translation, the commentary of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and then read and listen to the commentaries of the Khulafa. As I mentioned, the audio is available and they're also played on MTA. If we don't study the Holy Quran like this, then we should be concerned. Everyone should be concerned about their own state. Have we fulfilled the dues of being an Ahmadi Muslim simply by pledging allegiance to the community? Or do we still have to achieve the true objective for which the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came? On one occasion, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "It is true that a majority of Muslims have abandoned the Holy Quran, yet its light, blessings, and spiritual effects are still alive and well today. Thus, I have been sent in this age as proof of this." The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "I have been sent as proof. God Almighty has always sent His chosen servants to support and assist His cause in every era, because He promised meaning, indeed, we have sent down this exhortation, meaning the Quran, and it is we who shall preserve it." Hence, every Ahmadi should always bear in mind that everything we shall receive will be through the blessings of the Holy Quran, and we ought to give a lot of importance to this. Then the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "Only those will succeed who follow the Holy Quran. Success is impossible and inconceivable if one forsakes the Quran. These people are pursuing an imaginary hope in search of success. Keep the examples of the companions before you. When the companions followed the Prophet of God, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and gave precedence to religion over worldly affairs, all of the promises made to them by Allah the Almighty were fulfilled. Initially, the opponents would mock the companions and say that those who cannot even leave their homes with freedom claim that they shall be given kingdoms. However, when the companions lost themselves in obedience in the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, they attained all that of which they were long deprived. Thus, we must always bear in mind that it is only the Holy Quran which can grant us success. We will only prosper if we abide by the teachings found within the Quran, and alongside this, we strive to attain the nearness of Allah the Almighty. Hazrat Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, "The example of a believer who recites the Quran and acts upon its teachings is like a fruit which not only tastes good, but also has a beautiful fragrance. And the example of a believer who does not recite the Quran, but acts on its teachings, i.e. they hear it from here and there and then act on them, their example is like a date, which tastes good, but does not have any fragrance. An example of a hypocrite who recites the Quran is like a plant which smells good, but tastes bitter. And the example of the hypocrite who does not recite the Quran is like a bitter fruit which smells bad and also tastes bitter." Thus, it has been explained from this that one must recite the Holy Quran and also act on its commandments after comprehending them. Only by acting on it will we become like that fruit which not only tastes good, but is also fragrant. This is a really beautiful example. We must always remember that it is inherent in human nature to desire and repeatedly eat those things which are delicious, fragrant, and full of flavor, and the things that bring joy. Likewise, we should develop an earnest yearning to repeatedly recite and comprehend the Holy Quran. When we do so, we will not only benefit ourselves, but will also extend its blessings to our children and our surroundings. Indeed, such individuals are the ones who progress in righteousness, and those who act upon this attain guidance. They ultimately become benefactors for the world, and the world draws blessings from them. They have inner peace within their own lives and also become a source of tranquility and harmony for others. Such parents truly fulfill the rights of their children. They fulfill the rights of their neighbors. They uphold the rights of those around them in their professional and social spheres. Likewise, they honor their responsibilities within the administrative system of the Jamaat by serving the community in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Quran. They also fulfill the due rights of worship. And as I mentioned, when such parents serve as role models for their children, the children naturally look up to them. Likewise, wives regard such husbands as an exemplary standard for themselves. As a result, such a pious and virtuous environment is cultivated at home, wherein Allah the Almighty's blessings are showered upon them and continue to descend incessantly. Therefore, it is by acting upon the teachings of the Holy Quran that one attains true guidance, as Allah the Almighty has promised. And when one attains this guidance, you will witness such a clear and distinct transformation that it will bring about a complete revolution in your lives. And this is what Allah the Almighty has stated. Therefore, we must pay great attention to reciting the Holy Quran, understanding its meanings, and acting upon its teachings. Furthermore, Allah the Almighty states that even a person who does not regularly recite the Holy Quran at home, who does not read its translation or reflect deeply upon its meanings, but when he hears its teachings, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, says, when he listens to it, or when he hears the Quran being discussed in sermons and lectures, and when he receives guidance from the administrative system of the Jamaat regarding various Quranic commandments, he makes an effort to act upon them. Then, although he does not experience the same delight as one who personally recites the Holy Quran, he nonetheless benefits from it to some degree, drawing the spiritual fragrance from his teachings. On the other hand, the one who merely recites the Holy Quran for show, without acting upon its commandments, derives no benefit from it. As for the one who neither recites the Quran nor adheres to its teachings, such a person leads the life which personifies hypocrisy. His claim of being a Muslim is nothing more than a hollow assertion, for he does not act upon the teachings of Islam. Indeed, it is impossible to truly follow the teachings of Islam without first acquiring knowledge of the Holy Quran, nor is it possible to do so without pondering over its commandments. Thus, we must give great importance to the fact that we are not only to recite the Holy Quran, but also to act upon its teachings so that we may become those who attain its fragrance and also those who spread its fragrance. We should not only seek to benefit from its blessings ourselves, but should also strive to disseminate them to others. In one narration, Hazrat Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, among the people, there are some who are regarded as the people of Allah. The narrator states, upon this, the companions inquired, O Messenger of Allah, who are the people of Allah? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, the people of the Quran, those who recite the Quran and act upon it, are the people of Allah. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, only those will succeed who follow the Holy Quran. Success is impossible and inconceivable if one forsakes the Holy Quran. Some time ago in my sermons, I provided numerous references from the writings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in relation to the Holy Quran. It was a series of sermons, and I explained in great detail regarding the various guidance given to us by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I will briefly outline these now as well. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states that success cannot be achieved without the Holy Quran. If one claims to be a Muslim but does not hold on to the Holy Quran, i.e. does not adhere to the Holy Quran, then success cannot be attained regardless of one's claim to be a Muslim. Thus, every Ahmadi must adopt this method in order to attain success, which will not only improve their faith, but also improve their life in this world. The disputes and discord amongst the Muslims today, who are killing one another, throwing accusations against one another, governments are fighting against their own people, and the people are fighting against the governments. The killings and massacres, the rebellions, all of this is a result of not acting upon the Holy Quran. Though both sides may claim to have the Holy Quran, they are far removed from its teachings. If they truly adhere to the Holy Quran, such conflicts would not arise. To act upon the teachings of the Holy Quran in this era, Allah the Almighty has sent His representative. However, they are not willing to accept Him. If they do not accept Him, they will remain deprived of the blessings that Allah the Almighty has sent for our guidance. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, states, remember, the Holy Quran is the fountainhead of true blessings and the means of salvation. Those who do not follow the Holy Quran are in error, which they are committing themselves. Among those who fail to act upon it is a category of such people that does not even believe in it, nor do they regard it as the word of God. These people are far removed from His teachings. However, those who believe that it is the word of Allah and the healing remedy for salvation, if they do not act upon it, how surprising and regretful it is. Many of them have never even read it throughout their entire lives. Such people who are so heedless and negligent towards the word of God are like someone who knows that a certain spring is extremely pure, sweet, cool, and its water is an elixir and cure for many diseases. This knowledge is certain to him. Yet, despite knowing this, and despite being thirsty and suffering from various ailments, he does not go to it. What a misfortune and ignorance this is on his part. In reality, he ought to have placed his face at the spring and enjoyed the refreshing and healing water. But despite this knowledge, he remains as distant from it as someone who is completely unaware of it. He stays away from it until death comes and ends his life. Such a person never even realizes the blessings of the Holy Quran. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, further states, this person's condition is truly one of reflection and admonition. The state of Muslims today is becoming just like this. They know that the Holy Quran is the source of all success and the very book upon which they should act. Yet they pay no heed to it. Despite knowing this, they still do not care for the commandments of the Holy Quran. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, continues, a person who invites others with the utmost compassion and goodwill, i.e. referring to himself, he invites them with utmost compassion and goodwill. And this is not only owing to his compassion, but also due to the command of Allah and as a duty from him. And yet he is labeled a liar and a deceiver. What could be more pitiable than this condition? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, in fact, what the Muslims ought to have done, and even now it is incumbent upon them, is that they should regard this spring as a magnificent reward, and they must value it. Its value lies in acting upon His teachings. Then they will see how God Almighty removes their afflictions and hardships. If only the Muslims would understand and reflect upon the fact that Allah the Almighty has provided them with a virtuous path, and they should walk upon it and benefit from it. Just as I mentioned earlier, all the various ills that are developing amongst the Muslims are owing to them not accepting and adhering to the Holy Quran. They have abandoned the Holy Quran and only make a claim to it by name. They held it in their hands, but in practice they have forsaken it. They have banned Ahmadis from reading the Holy Quran in Pakistan, yet they do not adhere to it themselves. Although they prohibit us, they cannot remove the teachings of the Holy Quran from our hearts, no matter how hard they try. They cannot remove our love for the Holy Quran from our hearts. Thus, Ahmadis should especially turn their focus towards this. Their, i.e. non-Ahmadi Muslims, neglect and abandoning of the teachings of the Holy Quran and their failure to understand the words of the one who is trying to guide them is the reason for their current condition of unrest and disorder. These people should reflect and think, and if they truly regard the Holy Quran as the source of guidance, then it is essential for them to act upon its commandments. It is narrated from Hazrat Suhaib, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, whoever regards that which has been forbidden in the Holy Quran as lawful has no faith in the Holy Quran. This means that if someone does not pay heed to what Allah the Almighty has forbidden and does not follow the commandments of the Holy Quran, then no matter how much they claim, all praise is due to Allah, I am a Muslim, their faith is hollow and it is only a mere claim. Allah the Almighty does not care for such people. These individuals end up harming others as they are distant from Allah the Almighty. They violate the rights of others. Just as I gave the example earlier regarding the current state of the Muslims in the world today. There are kings, leaders, and people from various sects, yet they are fighting amongst themselves. Muslims are killing each other, and those who profess the same kalima are killing one another. To avoid this, it is essential that these people receive the true guidance of the Holy Quran. The greatest duty now lies with Ahmadi Muslims in this era, for they should act upon his teachings, and thus, through their actions, demonstrate to the non-Muslim world what the true Islamic teachings are and understand the commandments of the Holy Quran, which are commandments that promote peace, security, and love. These are the teachings that call for brotherhood in society and for fulfilling the rights of others. Therefore, it is essential that special attention be given to this matter by Ahmadi Muslims. During the month of Ramadan, when the Holy Quran is being recited, we must reflect upon its teachings. Moreover, we should strive throughout the entire year to continually spread its teachings. In one narration, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that Gabriel, peace be upon him, came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and said, a time will soon come when many trials and tribulations will emerge. Upon hearing this, it was asked, what will be the means of deliverance from these tribulations, O Gabriel? He responded, the means of deliverance from these trials is the Book of Allah. Thus, as I have emphasized before, it is imperative for us to turn our attention towards the Book of Allah in order to safeguard both ourselves and our future generations. Only then shall we attain guidance, protect ourselves from disorder and strife, and comprehend the divine commandments that Allah the Almighty has revealed for us. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "A person who recites the Holy Quran openly is like one who gives charity openly, and one who recites it covertly is like one who gives charity in secret." Thus, we must always bear in mind the narration which states that charity averts calamities, dangers, and tribulations. Therefore, the recitation of the Holy Quran, when done with understanding, will be accepted as an act of charity. And through its blessings, one shall remain protected from all kinds of trials. In the present age, when the world is engulfed in vice and turmoil and disorder surround us from all sides, we must continuously engage in this form of charity by reciting the Holy Quran, both openly and privately. In doing so, we will shield ourselves from the afflictions and hardships and ensure that we adhere to the teachings that Allah the Almighty has prescribed for us. Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "There are only two people for whom envy of a commendable and non-harmful nature is permissible. The first is the one whom Allah has granted the Holy Quran and he recites it day and night. A person who sees him wishes, 'If only I were also granted what he has been given, so that I too could do as he does.' The second is the one whom Allah the Almighty has granted wealth and he spends it in the most appropriate manner. A person who envies him wishes, 'If only I had been given what he has been given, so that I too could spend in the same manner,' i.e. spending in the cause of Allah the Almighty." Now, concerning the recitation of the Holy Quran, there are certain etiquettes to be observed. Those who feel admiration for a person who recites the Holy Quran do not merely admire him for his recitation alone. Rather, they recognize that such a person also practices what he recites. This realization then leads them to aspire to attain the same understanding of the Holy Quran and to act upon his teachings. Similarly, as mentioned in the hadith regarding wealth, it is pertinent to address the question some people raise: why is financial sacrifice necessary? Allah the Almighty is explicitly commanded to offer financial sacrifices in the Holy Quran. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that people admire those who sacrifice their wealth. Thus, this is also a matter of great significance if we carefully study the Holy Quran. We will find answers to the doubts and questions that arise in people's hearts about financial sacrifices and why they are needed. It is a commandment of Allah the Almighty. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, once said, "Whoever does not recite the Holy Quran with a melodious voice, refining his recitation, has no connection with us." Thus, reciting the Quran with a pleasant tone, in an orderly and measured manner, with understanding and reflection, is also essential. In one instance, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "A person should frequently recite the Holy Quran, and whenever he comes across a verse of supplication, he should supplicate accordingly." This is what is meant by refining or adorning one's recitation. That when a verse of supplication appears, one should pray for the same blessings being sought in that supplication. The Holy Quran contains many prayers offered by the prophets themselves. And so a believer should also say, "O Allah, grant me the same blessings." Similarly, when a verse mentioning punishment appears, one should seek refuge with Allah from such consequences and refrain from the misdeeds that led to the destruction of past nations. The Holy Quran mentions how various nations were destroyed by Allah the Almighty due to their sinful ways. When we come across such verses, we should seek forgiveness and strive to avoid those transgressions. By doing so, we shall naturally be protected from many evils. In today's world, particularly under the influence of the Western environment, many wrongful notions infiltrate our minds, and some of us become entangled in inappropriate behaviors. However, by reciting the Holy Quran, seeking forgiveness, and making a conscious effort to avoid wrongdoing, our lives will be transformed, and we shall be safeguarded from such vices. The Promised Messiah emphasized the importance of avoiding the misdeeds that led to the destruction of past nations. He further states, "In the absence of divine revelation, a lofty method which unites a person with the Book of Allah, an individual's opinion cannot qualify as reliable, for an opinion may be wrong. Any opinion that contradicts the teachings of the Hadith falls into the category of innovations. It is better to abstain from rituals and innovations, for they gradually alter the essence of religious law. The best approach is to devote the time spent in such practices to pondering over the Holy Quran." Some people insist on finding special prayers or ask for specific supplications to recite. However, the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, advises that it is better to read the Holy Quran and reflect upon it. People ask, what prayer should we say? What supplication should we recite? The answer of the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, is to ponder over the Holy Quran and reflect deeply upon its teachings. By doing so, you will be safeguarded from countless tribulations and hardships. You will come to understand the guidance of Allah the Almighty and comprehend His divine commandments. The Prophet ﷺ further states, what Allah the Almighty has revealed in the Holy Quran is a special form of divine revelation granted to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Any other opinion beyond this may be erroneous or false, regardless of how logical it may seem. A person may offer intellectual discourse that appears to align with the teachings of the Holy Quran. Yet since such insights are not divinely revealed, they lack the clarity and depth that the Holy Quran provides. Consequently, such ideas may ultimately prove misleading and lead people astray. The Promised Messiah further states, if the heart has become hardened, the only way to soften it is by constantly reading the Holy Quran. Wherever a prayer is mentioned, a believer's heart desires to become a recipient of that same divine mercy. The Holy Quran is like an orchard. At one place, a person picks one type of fruit, and then at another place, he picks another type of fruit. Thus, one should derive benefit in accordance with each instance. What need is there to add things of one's own accord? Otherwise, a question will be raised as to why additions have been made. Whatever has been commanded in the Holy Quran should be implemented. Novel innovations should not be made. Further conditions should not be attached to the commandments of the Holy Quran. He continues, none besides God Almighty has the power to say that if Surah Yasin is recited on a certain night, then it will be a source of blessings, otherwise not. Some people say that if a certain chapter is recited in a certain way, then it will be a source of blessings. If it is recited at a certain time, then it will be a source of blessings. And if it is not recited in this manner, then there will not be any blessings. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that all such things are wrong. This, i.e. the Holy Quran, is the word of Allah the Almighty, no matter how one reads it. If it is read to understand it, to act upon it, and with virtuous intentions, then there will be nothing but blessings in it. Hence, we should analyze as to whether this is how we read the Holy Quran. How many of its commandments do we implement? How many prayers are there which, when we come across them, we strive to seek them for ourselves? How many evils are there which, when it is commanded to safeguard against them, or when they are mentioned, we pray to remain safeguarded against them? It is only when we do so that we will benefit from the true teachings of the Holy Quran. At one instance, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, I proclaim repeatedly and loudly, a person truly becomes honorable when they truly love the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and adopt true obedience. He states, ponder over the Holy Quran. It comprises everything, the details of what is right and wrong, and foretelling about the future. Understand well that it presents a religion against which no allegation can be raised, because it renders blessings and fruits afresh. He continues, it is an honor reserved for the Holy Quran, and that Allah the Almighty has stated the cure to every illness in it, and has fostered all faculties. He has also taught how to repel any evil which has manifested. Hence, continue reciting the Holy Quran, continue praying, and strive to model your conduct according to its teachings. whilst drawing attention towards the recitation of the Holy Quran, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, states, read the Holy Quran and never lose hope in God. A believer never despairs. It is among the qualities of the disbelievers to despair of God Almighty. Our God has power over all things. Also read the translation of the Holy Quran and offer your prayers with great care, while also understanding its meanings and praying in your own language. Do not read the Holy Quran while considering it to be an insignificant book. Rather, read it while recognizing that it is the Word of God. These are the things that a believer should act upon. When we act in this way, then by the grace of Allah the Almighty, we will benefit from the teachings of the Holy Quran, and we will be improving our lives and the lives of our future generations. When this happens, then we will become those who achieve the purpose of their creation and our lives. Our lives will become successful, as will the lives of our progenies. And so, during these days of Ramadan, especially when we are focusing on the Holy Quran, we should also vow to always maintain this focus and remain mindful of reading the Holy Quran. We will focus on acting according to the Holy Quran. And we will also encourage our children to read the Holy Quran. We will not simply suffice upon having an Ameen ceremony for them. No. Rather, for us, the Holy Quran will serve as a book which is the means for our guidance and a complete guideline for always keeping on the right and righteous path. When this happens, then our lives will always remain successful. May Allah the Almighty enable us during this Ramadan to not only recite the Holy Quran, but to strive to understand it and vow that we will act upon it and will continue to strive to fulfill this oath in the future, making it a part of our lives for the entire year.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.